Creation, Chapter 7, Being Exceptionally Different. Going through the Evolved Enterprise thinking process for your company will automatically make you different, but it's still up to you to make sure your customers know what you're doing differently. One of my favorite questions I ask myself when creating new innovative offerings is, how can I go the opposite direction of most of my competitors? It's a bit like best of times and the worst of times out there, because simple online tools have made it so easy for so many people to put something up in almost every single marketplace and category. Our job is to make sure that we can break through the clutter and have a unique angle, hook, and story to share with our potential customers. There's a smart book out by Harvard professor Youngmin Moon, simply called Different. In the book, she talks about how companies are always looking at their competitors and trying to pick off what they're good at. They take those pieces and basically create an entire array of features and benefits that are only sort of above average, but none of them really stand out for the customer, so there's no real differentiation point. A really good example of going the opposite direction is our underground online seminar. It started off in 2004 and is sold out every year until we retired it after a decade. When I first started, there were a lot of internet marketing and online entrepreneurial events out there, but they're all roughly the same. They had the same speakers, same sort of topics. I don't really like to do the same thing as everyone else because there's no real point to it. That's when one of my buddies and I were having a drink at a hotel bar and he was laminating to me about the fact that he had just went to a seminar and it was a big pitch fest. And there wasn't much content, anything shared. He said, you know, what I'd like to see is a bunch of real world people actually showing what they're doing, how they're making their money, not the ones that made their money selling how to make money on the internet. You're the guy to do it. You know so many different people from different places. I realized, yeah, I could probably do that. That's how the underground event was born, entirely based on the idea that there are real world people who are out there making money, who aren't selling how to make money information, and they're doing it in all different ways, shapes, and forms. Now, I'm a big fan of creating not just an educational experience, but also creating a fun environment. At the Underground, we made it a lot more interesting for attendees because it wasn't just a normal, boring seminar. There always was a spy theme attached to it. So some years we had celebrities like Mini-Me, Vern Troyer, or we brought in one of the actors who played James Bond and the star of 24. There's usually a different theme each year, and it didn't stop there because there are tons of great parties and experiences to make attendees really bond together. Doing things differently sometimes has a downside too. After retiring the Underground, it would have been tough to just go back and with another seminar inside another hotel ballroom. That's why our team decided to innovate again and create a new annual event called Camp Maverick. It's an invitation-only summer camp for entrepreneurs to connect in truly unique ways. You can check that out at gocampmaverick.com. Start with a blank page. Another good example is Virgin America, one of my favorite airlines. They do a lot of things right. If you look at the other airlines out there, they're all pretty much the same, even in first class. But with Virgin America, they really started with a clean slate of paper and said, what isn't good about the flying experience in the U.S.? Of course, the answer is almost everything. So they went through and created a much better experience. For instance, they added a simple but truly remarkable feature when first introduced. A power outlet in between the seats so you can keep your laptop fired up for a cross-country flight from D.C. to L.A. They make the interior of the plane look really, really cool with lighting that changes colors based on the time of day. Plus, they have these really, really white seats. When you walk onto the plane, it just looks cool. It feels like a lounge. And they're one of the first to have Wi-Fi in the air. Other airlines have since copied some of these innovations, but that's not the point. People are excited to fly because Virgin America's crew members also have a great attitude. A lot of this experience comes from the founder, Sir Richard Branson, and you can just see his DNA is infused into all the Virgin companies. The idea of just a little bit cheeky and just a little bit of fun and just a little bit adventurous throughout. Create compelling stories. It's easier than ever to overshare via social media, but why would a customer actually tell someone else they bought something from you? For your message to get broadcast, it's crucial for consumers to be able to get it quickly and be able to connect. Over 80 years ago, one man had the answer to increasing almost any product sales and literally crushing the competition. His name? Claude Hopkins. And today, his advice is even more valuable than it was during the 1920s. Hopkins was one of the most famous ad men and really the father of modern advertising. His two books, My Life in Advertising and Scientific Advertising, are worth reading and rereading. I'll share with you one of Hopkins' greatest secrets for attracting more business. Listen closely. The secret is education. By educating a prospect about how things are done in your business, even if it's the same exact thing as any one of your other competitors could tell, it will produce a tremendous selling advantage. Hopkins used this advertising secret to rocket a so-so beer brand from fifth place into a tie for first place in just a matter of months. So listen to this. Schlitz Beer hired Hopkins to increase their falling market share. At the time, every beer manufacturer was screaming pure in their ads. In fact, companies were spending a fortune just advertising this four-letter word as big and as bold as they could. They even took out a double-page ads to put the words in even bigger letters. All this shouting and no explaining was making zero impression on the buying public. Nobody ever explained what Pure really meant until Hopkins came in. The first thing Hopkins did was take a factory tour. On this tour, he was shown plate glass rooms where beer was dripping over pipes. Inquiring about the reason for this, he was told that the rooms were filled with filtered air so the beer could actually be cooled without any impurities. Next, he was shown a huge, expensive filters filled with white wood pulp that provided a superior filtering process. The manufacturer then went on to explain how they cleaned every pump and pipe twice daily to ensure purity, and also how each bottle was sterilized, not once or twice, but four times before filling with beer. Then Hopkins was shown the 4,000-foot deep artesian wells dug in to provide the cleanest and purest water available, even though the factory is right on the shore of Lake Michigan. Finally, Hopkins was led into a laboratory and was shown the mother yeast cell that was a product of 1,200 experiments to bring out the robust flavor, and he was told all the yeast used in making Schlitz beer was developed from that original yeast cell. After his tour, Hopkins exclaimed, "Why don't you tell people these things?" The manufacturer's response was, "Well, because every beer manufacturer does it the same way." And to that, Hopkins replied, "But others have never told this story." And he went off to create an advertising campaign explaining to people what makes Schlitz beer pure. Once again, he told the same story pretty much any brewer could have, but he gave meaning to purity. And this is what took Schlitz from fifth place to a tie for first place in market share. Really, this whole process is just about educating. Educating prospects about the hows, the whys, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You simply cannot over-educate people. And you have an even better secret weapon to spread your story, the impact you're making. But, and this is a key but, you have to explain it and share it in a way customers can connect with and then spread the message potentially. One of the reasons Tom's has done so well is their story is easy to understand and share. And you want to share that message everywhere. Tom's does this even on the insoles of their shoes. If your customers are not informed and educated about why you're only using sustainable fabrics, soy, ink, a certain material, or how you're making a direct impact, it's all as if it never happened. You don't get credit for it and it doesn't become a marketing multiplier for you. You have to share your authentic impact everywhere. It can be your impact scoreboard on your website, your blog can be filled with stories of the difference you're making, your package inserts, and so on. Literally everywhere, you should be continuing to educate your buyers so they can become advocates. Must tell stories. A few years ago, I was dining at Danny Meyer's Modern Restaurant in New York City with a colleague. We both ordered up the tasting course menus with all the multiple courses and a different wine with each. You know the drill. So Danny has a great book out called Setting the Table, and he has a concept in there called Enlightened Hospitality. The idea behind this is that the server should be paying enough attention to the customers that they can almost predict what's going on and help them deal with almost any unmet needs and needs that they didn't even verbalize. So my dining partner and I were right behind another table where this couple was having this knockdown, drag-out sort of argument about their family. The man was complaining about his mother-in-law and the holidays and how much he hated her. You get the idea. I mean, it was bad. I can compartmentalize pretty well, so I really wasn't affected, but the guy I was with was getting really bothered. Since the waiters were paying attention to this, they actually did something I've never seen before. A waiter literally came over, poured a small pitcher of water on our table and said, "Oh my gosh, I'm so clumsy. I can't believe I did that. I'll have to get you guys reseated right away." And the staff instantly whisked away like 8 plates and 8 wine glasses and moved us into a corner where it's a lot quieter. So think about this. Instead of telling the other table, "Can you guys please shut the hell up?" they let the other table just enjoy, I guess, their evening without embarrassing them and helped us enjoy our evening. This is such an exceptional experience that I've been compelled to share the story over and over again on stages and now in this book. Another tale that's become somewhat well known is from Tony at Zappos again. He shared the story at Underground of a woman who bought a pair of boots for her husband. Unfortunately, her husband never got them because he was killed in a car accident. So when the customer called to return the boots to Zappos and explain what happened, the rep took it upon herself to send flowers to the funeral. This created a huge stir and a word-of-mouth sensation at the funeral because what other online e-tailer would ever send flowers to someone even after they've returned the product? I'd say the big lesson here is to provide anyone who works with you enough authority and latitude to make sure something good can happen. Allow them to deliver surprise and delight that turns regular customers into raving fans.